Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your blessings and your lessons and the love that you share with all of us. Amen. So as we learned this morning from our little ones in the kids' message, either 20 years ago or 50 years ago, definitely more than 4 years ago, World War I ended. It was actually, of course, 100 years ago today. So we are celebrating Veterans Day, and in this country, we celebrate all who served. In other countries, they, on this day, celebrate Memorial Day, those who lost their lives, and maybe celebrate's not the right word, but honor, lift up the names, and on Veterans Day, we do a little bit of that, too. We remember, we visit graves of loved ones, and I want to talk a little bit about those who are still here, those vets that we honor. As you heard during the prayer time, we recognize that it is not easy to be a vet, even though many of us have not walked the walk that you have. We recognize and honor you. We see you. In this country, about 20 vets a day die by suicide. So we start off this sermon and the honor in this service, not just vets in general, but really the struggle and what it is like to come back and to maybe not quite fit into the world that you knew before you served. I promise you that even those of us who do not know the exact path that you have been on, that we love you and see you and honor you. And I want to tell you about a group of women who I learned about this week. Does anyone know about the Hello Girls? Anyone listen to NPR? The Hello Girls. It's not the favorite term of the actual group of women, but here is who they were. This is a group of women who in World War I, when it was a long time before women could in any way really truly serve, these were translators, women who were fluent in English and French, who actually served on the Western Front. That means that they actually went through training. They joined the military. We're talking over 100 years ago. They went through all of the military protocol. They, got their uniforms. They got everything. They went overseas to join the Western Front. They translated. They helped. They were soldiers. They did their work serving this country, and then they came home and everyone said, great job. No, just kidding. Everyone forgot they existed. And this group of women who came back home after serving, after, like many women in this era, who stepped up to what it was at the time and still in some ways, unfortunately, is considered man's work, stepped into these roles and said, recognize us as human beings, women who were here in this country when men were overseas. This was one of the ways that women started to be recognized more and more as, you know, like shockingly as people. So these women who got called the Hello Girls because they were they were operators on the phones, came back and said, We served our country. And they were told, good job, by the government again and again. But they were not told that they could have any kind of benefits. They were told that they weren't really honored or recognized. And every time there was a new president, they appealed again and again. And over the years, they more and more of them died off. And then in 1977, it was President Carter who finally acknowledged them for their military service, honored them, and said, yes, you are in fact veterans. So as we honor the vets, as we honor those who have served, we honor people who have served in all kinds of ways that are not recognized. Families who were left behind, families who never had their loved ones return, we honor all of it. What we have learned is that often people put their bodies on the line. And what does it mean to put our bodies on the line? Well, sometimes it is not our choice, and other times it is because of extraordinary love. So today we heard two stories in our scriptures about extraordinary love. The first, the story of Ruth and Naomi. Again, powerful women who were not fully recognized for the power that they held. So let me give you a little synopsis of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi had two sons, and her two sons married two women. One is Ruth and one is Orpah. And then Naomi's husband died. And as I've mentioned in sermons before, when a woman is widowed in biblical times, it is not a good state of affairs for this woman. Women largely unable to take care of themselves, not because women are unable to take care of themselves, but in a society in which women are not treated equally. I mean, think about it. It was only 1977 that these women that served in World War I were given some recognition. So think about this, all these thousands of years earlier, what it was like for these women when they were widowed. So Naomi was widowed, and then her sons died, so her daughters-in-law were also widowed. She said to her daughters-in-law, you need to return to your families. It was their only chance for survival. And here's what Ruth said to Naomi. This scripture always gets me. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where I go, you will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you. Now we know these words. Many of us have heard them in wedding ceremonies. This is a story of extraordinary love. And yeah, it's possible that Ruth and Naomi were in love. It is possible that they were romantically involved, or it is just possible that they loved each other and they said, you are my chosen family. You are who I am choosing to hold on to in this life, and I cannot survive without you. Do you know this kind of love? I hope and pray that all of us can experience this kind of love that says, I would rather not survive without you. If I have to be without you, I don't want to go on. I will do what it takes to survive. And then Ruth put her body on the line so Naomi could survive. She put her body on the line in the way that women have been called to put their bodies on the line for thousands of years. If you took the little class that Craig and I just taught, where we talked about some biblical interpretation, you would have learned, and you'll have to take it next time, that sometimes in the Bible they say things that aren't the actual things that they're talking about. So when Ruth is told to uncover Boaz's feet, she uncovered his feet. And she lay down at those feet and became his wife. Ruth offered herself up. And maybe it is true, maybe she fell in love with Boaz, maybe they had this wonderful ride off into the sunset romance, we don't know. But what we know is that in biblical times, because Boaz was in some way related distantly to Naomi, he had an obligation to take care of them if Ruth could persuade him to do so. So Naomi didn't have to die and Ruth didn't have to die because Ruth was willing to open herself to Boaz. Extraordinary love brings us to do extraordinary things. That love for which you will do anything. So we also heard another story today about a woman with extraordinary love. So again, the context here of a widow. And Jesus says about the legal experts and the scribes, he gives this, he admonishes them. And then we hear the story of the widow. Now here we are in a context where when a husband dies, the wife is not suddenly able to just inherit anything. In fact, these legal experts that Jesus is talking about, these scribes, would take the money because the women couldn't handle it themselves and leave these women destitute. So Jesus is calling them out and saying, what you did is why she doesn't have what she needs to survive. And yet, she believes so strongly. She loves this faith community so much that she gives the last of what she has. And that in that giving, in that extraordinary love, she gives to the temple. Now, this is, of course, a scripture that's used in these in sermons about you should give till it hurts. And as our beloved Tiffany Middlesex says when she gets up to do the offering, you should give till it feels good. This faith-filled offering that the widow gives is everything. And it's not about the amount she gives. It's about the motivation behind it. Not to look holy, not to get praise, but because she is standing behind what she believes in the temple. The theologian Emily Towns tells us that the coins represent a lot more than just money. They represent faith and belief. What is it like to truly have faith, to truly believe in something? To believe in the love that you share with your community, with your family, with the people who you choose as your family. So the faith-filled offering is her presenting all of who she is. She, having nothing, lives in a place of abundance that so few of us can live into. Abundance isn't just about having a lot, it's about trusting that there is enough. When we give and we give and we give, sometimes it breaks us. And I'm not talking about financially, I'm talking about giving of ourselves and our spirits. And then we come to church and we come to the people we love and we come here seeking to be filled. And yes, I'm not going to be like, so we're going to get all we need is spiritual fulfillment. We're not going to take up an offering. We are going to take up an offering. Amen, says our recent treasurer. Still celebrating that she's handed off that role to someone else. We have a structure of giving in our culture where we want to look good. We have a culture that puts so much value on things like never taking a day off, on being overworked, on being exhausted, that it strips us of who we are and it can break us. How can we give in a way that fulfills us? How can we give of our spirits, give of our resources in a way that promotes the love that we experience, the extraordinary love of community? I'm not going to pretend that this has been an easy week in this country. I'm not going to pretend that it's been an easy month. We have an epidemic of mass shootings. We have seen the language about shootings shift from I heard of a mass shooting to people saying the first mass shooting that I survived. No one should ever say the sentence, the first, as opposed to the second or even the third. This is a common thing that people are talking about. I knew what to do this time because I survived it last time. I heard this on the news so many times this week. Why do we live in a culture that is so spiritually broken that mass shootings are normal? Why do we live in a culture where so many people are dying by suicide? Where have we fallen short? I believe in the unimaginable, incredible, extraordinary love that we have for each other here. And I know that, you know, the fires in California and the last shooting that happened and the next one that's going to happen all feel like they're far away from here. But I believe that the love that is in this room is the answer to all of it. Because it's not just us, right? We love in this space, and we take that love out of this space. When we choose to love in a way that opens our hearts, we are transformed. And sometimes we are truly called to put our bodies on the line in many different ways. We are called to give. We are called to be fulfilled by the Spirit. So I won't say, you should be like the widow and give your last penny, and that's what Jesus said, because that's not what Jesus is talking about. This is about hospitality, and yes, I am asking you, I am begging you, I am saying that you should give. But not because there's some punishment. I'm asking you because I love you, and I love this community. And I hope that all of you who give so much of your hearts and your time and your treasure will continue to give of your hearts and your time and your treasure. And I will say one more thing on giving is that my relationship to this church, my relationship with my husband and my family were transformed when I decided to start giving more to this church. And I, for you know, when I was newly here, and I have, when I started here, I had $150,000 in student loan debt that I took out so that I could be qualified to be here. $150,000. And I thought, well, how can I possibly give to the church? And I'll tell you what, it's not some prosperity gospel thing like you give and God will send you a lottery ticket, but the abundance that I feel by giving. And if I forget to bring money, I forget to bring a check, and I go onto PayPal or I use the Square, that's what I do. We give every week. Every week. And on those weeks when things are not so great, we give a little. And on those weeks when things feel like the abundance is overwhelming and beautiful, we give a lot. And it has transformed us. Because when we give, truly give, we are part of this thing that we love. And don't walk away from this thinking, oh, then you got up there and asked for money. I'm asking for love. I'm asking for commitment. I'm asking that when we leave this place, we know that this is our home, and we're not only in church on Sundays, we are always the church. We know what it is like to have our bodies on the line and our spirits on the line, and we will fight like our beloved vets have taught us to fight for what we truly believe in. Hear the love in this space. Amen.